Long before the fall of man, God designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine.
Through God's mercy and his grace, he prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise his perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven ours to share. He is mine.
Beyond all measure, he is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine.
Oh, he is mine.
Beyond all measure, he is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever, I shall be. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever, I shall be. He is mine.
Man, I certainly enjoy that song. There is a greater truth than the song declares, which is, he is mine, and that is, I am his. Amen. And if you go through the Song of Solomon, you'll see where, Solomon makes mention of that a few times. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. But the greater emphasis on that I am his. Amen. He is mine. Well, we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. We make a decision, but God made a choice. And he chose us. And aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that I am his. Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, but also believe in the free will of man. And I just believe there's a lot of choosing going on. But I'm glad that before I even knew that I had a choice, God chose me. Amen. And I'm glad that I made that decision to choose him as well. And I believe it works both ways, brethren, both ways. You have your Bible open to Luke 17, and I want to give you a few thoughts out of this chapter that I hope will be a blessing to you. And this Thanksgiving Sunday, as we think about the week of Thanksgiving, and I hope you have big plans with your family, and I pray that you will truly focus on thankfulness. Certainly, as I mentioned this morning, every day ought to be Thanksgiving, but the sad truth is it's not. We see more and more. I had someone come to me, actually, I don't know if it was, I think it was after the service this morning, might have been before the service tonight, and they said something about Chick-fil-A, and look, don't get mad at me about Chick-fil-A, amen. I'm just telling you, I gave you that illustration. I've come to expect, and I think all of us have, I've come to expect certain things out of Chick-fil-A. That was the purpose of my illustration. And when I didn't get it, I noticed it. And I think that people expect Christians to be thankful. Amen. And when we're not, I think people notice it. And the same way that I noticed that that representative from that company was not as, well, the company had been in the past and other representatives had shown themselves, it was very clear to me that that was not normal behavior for what is to be expected from that company. Well, I think for you and I to be unthankful is abnormal, especially as Christians. When I read this story, this account, I see some things that stands out to me. Small things, and I want to just point them out to you if I may, okay? Notice if you would, in verse number 11, it says, "It came to pass as he," meaning Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." And notice this next phrase. If you remember some time ago on some Sunday mornings, I began to go through the book of Luke, and I asked you to highlight this word, certain. You know, it seems to be a key word in the book of Luke. You know, there was a certain rich man in Luke 16 and a certain beggar, a certain Samaritan. The word certain, but notice what happens here in verse number 12. "And he, as he entered into a certain village." Now, I want to talk about that just for a little bit. All right? Now, Jesus is making his way back, of course, to Jerusalem. And as he's making his way back, He took some detours. Now, this is all in the providence of God. Every step that the Lord Jesus took was right in time with the will of God. Jesus never took a step outside of the will of God. Now, you or I can't say that, but the Lord Jesus never had an unclean thought, never said a word outside of the will of God, never took a step outside of the providence of God. Isn't that something? And so here he is in the providence of God, passing through this way into a certain village where 10 lepers were. Now, these men, I don't know how long they had been lepers. I do know this. I know that there is an emphasis, for whatever reason, that the one that gave thanks is identified as a Samaritan. Now, that doesn't mean he was the only Samaritan. I don't know what the nationality of these people were. The 10 lepers, maybe most of them, maybe all of them were Samaritans. I don't know. But for some reason, God wanted us to know that. I do know that these men were lepers. And as lepers, they had no hope. Okay? There was no cure for leprosy. They knew that their time was limited. Their days were numbered. And yet, in the providence of God, here comes this person. And I want you to notice what happens here in verse number 13. It says that they stood afar off in verse number 12, and they lifted up their voices. Now, they couldn't go close because they were lepers. And so they were kind of outcast. They back in these days, they even formed colonies, leper colonies, where they had to stay. They had to be separated from family because of the seriousness of the disease of leprosy. And yet the Bible says that they knew about Jesus somehow. Because the scripture says that they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so because of their knowledge of him, maybe they had heard that Jesus was around. Maybe they had heard of him before. They just never had him pass by their way. And if for no other reason, brethren, if for no other reason, they should have returned and done exactly what this one did, all 10 of them. The providence of God took Jesus through their village. Aren't you glad that Jesus passed by your way? You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, God owed me. God owed me for those people to come and tell me about Jesus. God owed me for a church to be built in my backyard and soul winners to come and tell me about Jesus. God owed me the Bible, and God owed me salvation, and God owes me all this. God doesn't owe us anything. We were just like these 10 lepers, separated, hopeless, helpless, and yet in the providence of God, the Savior passed by their way. Not only did Jesus pass by their way, but he got within earshot of them. Now listen to me. He got close and personal to where he could hear them as they cried. In verse number 13, it says in verse number 12, they stood afar off, which simply means that they couldn't go up into close proximity because of their disease, but they were within earshot. And the scripture says they lifted up their voices, which many times the disease of leprosy does attack the vocal cords, and it causes people not even be able to speak. But there again, in the goodness of God, Jesus got to them while they could still lift their voices. And the Bible says in verse number 13 that they said unto Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Look at verse number 14. And when he saw them. So not only did God in his providence pass by into that certain village. Again, I draw your attention to verse number 11. Came to pass, went to Jerusalem, passed through the midst of Samaria, through the midst of Galilee, into this certain village where there just so happened to be these 10 lepers. Jesus was on a mission. Amen. Jesus was on a mission. Going after the lost, going after the lepers, brethren. I'm glad that Jesus comes after the helpless and the hopeless, aren't you? And so he passed by, and the Bible says that as they lifted up the voice, when he saw them. Now, naturally, the omniscient mind of God, Jesus Christ, he knew they were there. But I simply believe that it means that he turned and he faced them, and he made eye contact with them. He heard them, but then he saw them. Now, the very fact that he would pay attention, give them the time of day, should have caused them to, all 10 of them, to do exactly what that one did, fall down prostrate at his feet. That he would pass through their village, providence. That he would look and turn their way and hear their cry, compassion. See, these are things that we need to be thankful for. Now, I was thinking about that this past week when I was going through these scriptures, and I was thinking how that if we're not careful, we'll be looking for all of these things to be thankful for, when really, I just need to be thankful in my life that God even took note of me. That God even took note of me. How I blasphemed his name and how I rejected him and turned him away. And yet God stayed with me and God stayed after me. How I ought to bless his name, brethren. How we ought to bless his name for it. These men, they were there. They cried. Jesus passed through their village. He heard their cry. And then the Bible says in verse 14 that he saw them and then he spoke to them. Look at it in verse number 14. When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." Now, I said that basically what he was doing was asking them to follow the Old Testament way of when you get healed, you go show yourself to the priest. So what he was saying is, listen, I'm going to heal you. But you need to go not to the priest for the healing. Now listen to me. But for the pronouncement of the healing. Can I tell you, religion can't heal you? Now listen very carefully to me. You know this. You know this. So that's not why Jesus told them to go to the priest. Not to receive the healing. But so the pronouncement could be made and the ban, so to speak, could be lifted. And so he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And verse number 14 says, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, they believed. They believed the word of God, and then they received. See, that's always God's way. They believe the word of God. They act upon the word of God. God said, Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. So they obeyed that. They believed that. And so as they acted upon what Jesus said, the power of God became activated in their lives. And it's always that way, brethren. It's always that way. See, we want to see And then we can believe. But God says, no, you believe and then you'll see. You believe me and I'll show you some things, some great mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. You believe my word. You take me at my word and I'll show you things. Listen, far above, as we heard in our prayer letter from Brother David as he shared, exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask or think. All right? So they acted upon it, the 10 of them. And then it says that they were cleansed in verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, all right, the realization set in. I think I've told you more than once, I remember where I was, and what I was doing when the realization set in on me, I have eternal life. I remember. Now listen, I knew I was saved. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Didn't understand eternal life. Didn't fully understand all that was going on. I just knew I was a sinner. And I believe when the man shared the scripture with me on that October 26, 1980, when he shared those scriptures with me, I believe that. I didn't fully understand it all, but I knew what he was telling me was so. How did you know that? God gave me the faith to believe it. The gift of faith. God gave, just like he does everyone that gets saved. Amen. Listen to me. You don't reason with God. God gives you faith to believe his word. And so the scripture says that these men, they got healed, they got cleansed, and one of them, he realized it. He realized it. Verse number 15, when he saw that he was healed. Has it set in on you that you're going to heaven? You know, I look at some folks today, brethren, I just got to tell you, I don't think they realize where they're going. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. You say, well, yeah. Reminds me of a story, true story now. Sometimes our Thanksgiving is like my sister. I'm going to tell a story on my sister. Now, she's in heaven, so she don't mind. Trust me, this will mean nothing to her now. My sister had a nervous breakdown. My sister and I had a great, great relationship while she was here. She died of cancer. And she was saved, and she had a nervous breakdown because a lot of things. I could go into, she was abused as a child, and I don't want to get into all that. Just a terrible thing. And so after I got saved, I tried to become real close to her and minister to her. And she had a nervous breakdown, so I went to see her in a ward where they had her after she had the nervous breakdown. And I'll never forget when I asked to see her, they took me through these doors, you know, security, and I went back, and there she was in this room. And she was sitting there, and there was this woman sitting beside her. And I could just tell, and this probably won't mean anything to you because you don't know my sister, but maybe you can just imagine it. Do you have somebody or ever had somebody in your life that just literally drives you nuts? I mean, you just wish they would go away, all right? And I could tell by the look on my sister's face, this woman was doing that to my sister, okay? My sister looked so ready to tell this woman, get out. I mean, it was she was ready for that. And so they said, Mary, your brother's here. And she looked up, and she saw me, and she went like, wow, you know, finally. And so she turned around and started walking toward me, and this lady that was sitting there said, Mary! And Mary stopped and turned around, and she said, what? And she said, I love you. And she said, yeah, thank you. And just walked on, you know. So can I tell you that's in our home, we still do that, you know, to one another. When we do something real big and say, hey, you know, then yeah, thank you. Look, there's a lot of Christians live that way. That's the way we approach God sometimes. God does so much for us, and if we're not careful, we'll get this attitude out, yeah, 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 thank you. Hey, listen, God's not looking for that. God's looking for this. Can I show you what God's looking for in your life and mine? God's looking for some individuals that realize that he passed by your way. God came through your town. Are you listening to me? In the providence of God, he stopped by your place. And he saw your need. And he listened to your cry. And he spoke to you. And he gave you instructions on what you were to do so that you could act upon it and you could receive by faith the gift of God. Brethren, that ought to be enough to cause us to fall prostrate on our faces and bless His holy name. Every day of our lives, we are, you say, I don't know that I have a reason to praise God. Hey, we have much to give Him glory for. The Bible says here in verse number 15 that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Turned back. I believe he just stopped in his tracks. So, well, I thought Jesus told him to go and see the priest. Isn't that what it says? He said, you go show yourselves to the priest. Now, I want you to write this down. If you don't write it down in here, write it down somewhere on a piece of paper. This man didn't go see a priest. He became one. See, that's what God's looking for you and I. See, when you get saved, you become priest. You don't have to go to a priest. You become one. Now listen to me. This man didn't have to go see one. He became one because he offered up the sacrifice of praise. That's what Hebrews 13, 15 says. Psalm 107, verse 22, talks about the offering of thanksgiving, the offering of praise. As priests, we offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. Notice what it says here, that he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Glorified God. Ah, preacher, I'm a little bashful. You get to thinking about all that God's done for you, that bashful stuff goes out the window. Amen. Amen. I'm shocked. And listen, I'm not saying that you ought not cheer at your son's ball game or your daughter's ball game or what. I'm not saying you ought not get excited about that, but I'm shocked that these bashful people that tell me, I tell you, I'm just bashful, I'm shy, and I've gone to some ball games with some folks who said that, and honest to goodness, they embarrassed daylights out of me. I thought they was going to start turning cartwheels. I think you get excited about what excites you. I can tell you what excited this man. The fact that Jesus done something for him in his life. And the Bible says here that with a loud voice he glorified God. Look at verse 16. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. Can I encourage you? As I spoke to you this morning about think and thank coming from the same derivative and how that they rise up from the same root and then think goes one way and thank goes the other because they form a little bit of a different as far as what their action is, thinking people are thankful people. When we begin to become unthankful, it's because we're not thinking clearly. We're not thinking it through. All right, well, like the little boy that I talked about this morning that says, well, where'd you get that loaf of bread? Got it from the store. Need to think that through. All right? Where'd you get what you have? Well, I got it from the department store. I got it from the grocery store. I got it from this. We need to think that through, you see. God gives us abilities and strength and health and resources so that we can accumulate the things that we need in life and then even above that. And so we need to think it through. And if we think it through, then we'll become thankful people because we'll think it through all the way back to the source of our resources, which is God Almighty. And we'll give Him the praise. There's two other words that have the same derivative that go, I think, in this story, and it's grace and gratitude. Did you know? Listen, you can search these words. I challenge you to do it. They come from the same root, from the same tree, so to speak. Grace and gratitude. You know what produces gratitude? When we begin to realize grace. See, as long as we think merit, or as long as we think that it's something that we've done or that we've worked for that we deserve, gratitude is not in play. But when we begin to see that what we have in life and what God does for us is God's favor and God's grace in our lives, it produces gratitude. It produces thanksgiving in our lives. So I pray that this week, as we begin to move toward Thursday, that each one of us would begin to think of really what God has done in our lives. Where was it that God came through your village? When was it? When was it that God heard your cry? That God turned your way and looked on you with compassion and spoke to you and gave you instruction on what to do, and as you did it, you realized, I'm healed. Amen. I'm healed. I told you I remember I don't remember the day. I remember I'd been working all night. I used to work at 3M Company. And I'd worked all night long, and I was driving home the next morning. And I was driving home, the road was white. We called it, it's Highway 25. We called it White Horse Road. And I was driving down in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm driving down White Horse Road. And my pastor had preached that Sunday on John 10, 27 through 30, about eternal life and the eternal life of the believer. And as a young Christian, it didn't really set in, but God, you know, was working in my life, and I was meditating on that, and then it just hit me. It's like God just opened up my understanding. You know, we're talking out of Ephesians chapter 1 about the eyes of our understanding being open. It's like God turned on the light and said, I just want you to know, this is not going to end. Because that was a great concern I had. You know, I've been brought up around a bunch of work salvation. I was a heathen, okay? But the little bit of religious things that was around me, religious people that was around me, were people who preached work salvation. And I was just so afraid. After I got saved, I was so grateful that I was saved, delivered. And I thought, oh, I don't want this to end. I don't want this to end. I didn't realize it's not going to. Amen. I didn't realize it until I was driving home. And God brought eternal life. He brought it and made it real to me. You are going to live forever with me. You are saved forever. This is not going away. And I'm telling you, I began to cry. I was driving down the road. I remember I pulled up at a stoplight, and I looked over, and there was this lady looking at me like, are you okay? This is back before, you know, Bluetooth and all. So I was praising God, and she was probably thinking, this guy over here, he's crazy. I didn't care. Crazy, happy, blessed. How often do you praise God? I want you to know what this guy did. And this will probably be my final point. There's a lot in this, okay? I preached out of this. Listen, the usual, right? We know that there's they were 10, you know, 10. The scripture says there's 10 unclean, 9 ungrateful, 1 unusual. There's a lot of truth in this, but I want you to think about something with me here. Here's this man, and as he's going, there's 10 of them going in the same direction. Now this is difficult, so I want you to listen to me. Young people, listen to me. In particular. It's hard sometimes to turn and go in an opposite direction as the crowd's going. It's hard. Even when you feel very strongly about something. Okay, this man realized what had happened to him. Now those others, listen, I can only assume that they did too. I don't know. But this man realized it. And so they were 10 going in the same direction. And I don't see anywhere where this man said, hey, go with me. I want to go back to this guy. Come go with me. I don't want to go back alone. I don't want to be the only one that turns back. When you're truly thankful, when gratitude is really who you are instead of what you do, it doesn't matter if anybody goes back with you. Are you listening to me? When you really get a hold of what God done for you, it won't matter to you if any of your friends serve God or not. You're going to serve Him. Now listen to me. It won't matter if anybody says amen in church, you're going to say it. Amen. It won't matter if anybody shouts in church, you're going to shout. Because you're going to give Him the glory. Amen. You're going to give Him the glory. Whether anyone else does or not, you're going to give it to Him. Amen. Because you know He is deserving of it. Amen. So, here's this one man who realized what God had done for him. And I don't see where he's lobbying to get the others to go. I don't know. I can't say he didn't. I just don't think he did. I just think he realized what God had done for him and said, listen, whether they go back or not, I'm going to go back and tell him, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And brethren, we're living in a day where we may be in a very small minority that's going to thank God for His blessings on us, but don't you let that stop you. And God help me. Let's not let it prevent us from giving God the glory Amen. That's due unto His name. All right? When you realize what God has done for you, you praise Him. And it doesn't always have to be the healing. It doesn't always have to be the good things. The Bible says in all things, you give thanks. All right? So let's read this out. Verse 17 says, and Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Say, I don't want to be in that group. I don't want God to be looking down and seeing me and saying, hey, where's your praise at, son? Where's your thanksgiving? Where's your awareness of what I've done for you in your life? I just don't want that to be my lot in life. I really don't. And I don't think you do. But it can happen. Because it is a sign of the times. I showed you this morning in the scripture that one of the prevalent attitudes of the last days is unthankfulness. And let's not allow it to slip into our lives, into this congregation. Let's be a thankful people. The Bible says this, verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, now watch this, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now there's a lot of conversation about this particular verse. You read after different good men, okay? You hear preaching on it, good, you know, good men preaching. And some will say this, some will say that, but I don't see how you can get anything else. I don't see how you can get anything out of this except for this man received more than just a physical healing. He received a spiritual salvation. He became whole. Now, you're not whole until your spirit's born again. All right? Now, I don't know what happened those other 9. Maybe they went on to the priest. I can't say. Listen, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just leaves us with them being ungrateful. All right? But this man got more out of God. And I want you to listen carefully. Because he was thankful. You say, well, I need something from God. I'm going to pray. Well, I think it's good to pray. The Bible teaches well to pray. But did you know that you can get just as much out of God, if not more, by praising than you can by praying? Study the scriptures. Every person in the scripture that came and fell down at Jesus' feet got an abundance. Study the scripture. God done great things for people who will fall down at his feet and bless his holy name. Are you praising God? Are you giving thanksgiving to him? Are you counting your blessings? I pray that you are. Give God the glory that's due his name. Let's stand to our feet.